Good afternoon. At the end of the year 2012, this last year, there was really one big discussion that was dominating the news. And that big item was the fiscal cliff. Would the United States fall off of the fiscal cliff? If you don't know what that is, basically it means we're kind of going along, everything's fine, and then all of a sudden you just fall off into an abyss, into disaster. And this was going to come about because of some changes in taxes, the debt ceiling. There were some issues there, and there's other economic factors that really I don't understand that were all supposed to come into play together. And on January 1st, the United States was going to fall off of this fiscal cliff into complete economic disaster. So you had Congress and the President. They were going back and forth. They were kind of fighting over this. And they ended up pushing back some of these deadlines a couple months. So it's still something that's going on. And the question's still there. Will we, with the United States, fall off this fiscal cliff? Well, we'll just have to wait and see. But when we think about these kind of problems, these big problems, like the fiscal cliff, they can be scary, right? Because we really can't control it. There's nothing that we can do individually to prevent this from happening. Even scarier than that, it's in the hands of politicians in Washington to fix this problem. So that can be very frightening. But when it comes back to us, to our own personal level, to our own lives, when it comes to our own situation in life, to our own economic health and our own spiritual health, we do have choices. We have a certain level of control that we need to exercise based on biblical principles in order to avoid these cliffs in our lives. So we don't fall off a cliff into stress or disaster or increased problems in our lives. And we can all control certain elements of our own life and what is taking place with us. Now, some of these points, they came from a couple BT dailies that I watched online. Very interesting. I kind of expanded on those points. I encourage you all to go on and watch those from time to time. They're very helpful. But I want to give you 4 points today. They're principles of our own personal management that if we apply them to our lives, they can help us from going off of a cliff, not only financial, but going off of a spiritual cliff as well. So my first point today is live within your means. Live within your means. It sounds very simple, and it means don't spend any more than what you should. You know, and don't spend more than what you take in. Really, that's the problem that we've got on the national level. The nation, the people in it, want what we can't afford. They want what they should not have. So we need to live within our means. Learn to live with what's good and appropriate. And that principle alone will take us a long way. Now this applies to money, but it also applies to many other areas of our life. And in fact, it's affected mankind ever since the beginning. And I'd like to turn back and we'll read about Adam and Eve. And they dealt with these same situations, and the story applies to us today. So let's turn back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." I want you to think of the serpent. What's the serpent in your life? To us, You might say it's the world. What's the world saying to you? So maybe interject that whenever we read serpent here. Going on, it says, "And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate as well." So they were not living with what in their means. They saw something that God had, and they wanted it too. So think about what looks good to us in our lives. Speaking just of money, maybe it's something we want. A car, maybe a new investment. Maybe it's that freedom to choose, where we want to decide what's right for our lives. You know, the desires we have. Or maybe it is the things, the stuff. Maybe it's vacations. You know, for us in this room, it could be actually the Feast of Tabernacles. So, you know, some people, they go off to faraway exotic places. And you might say, well, I want to go there too. Well, is that appropriate for you? Maybe it is and maybe it isn't. You know, it might look good and others might have it. Just like in the case of Adam and Eve, God had these things, but they should not. So we have to live within our means. What is right for us? What is righteous spiritually? This is a choice that we all make. You know, we have control over this. We each make the final decision, and we will reap what we sow, whether it be good or bad. And these things sound very simple, but it's been difficult. It's difficult for all of us. As we read here, it's been difficult since the beginning of mankind. Now, with the youth group, we've been discussing the breastplate of righteousness. In Ephesians 6, we actually just sang the song about it. And in that, we learned that we have to make righteous choices. Righteous choices. And that's really not a difficult thing. And God addresses that. I would like to turn to Deuteronomy 30. In Deuteronomy 30, starting in verse 11, and I'm going to read through verse 19. But God says the choice is not complicated, but we need to choose the right one. I'll start reading here in verse 11. It says, "For this is the commandment which I command you today. It is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God and walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear and are drawn away to and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish and shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go to and possess. I call on heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. It says, therefore, choose life. Choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. I think that whole paragraph is very, very important. It's in God saying, these are not complicated things, but you have to make the choice. And it's the same for Israel there. It was the same for Adam and Eve. It's the same for us today. But we often want more. And it seems right to us to want more. You know, maybe to do what's in your heart. Don't get caught up in those laws and rules that we see here in the Bible. And we also talked about this with the youth group a couple weeks ago, and we read a scripture, Jeremiah 17:9. You don't need to turn there, I'll just read it to you. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. So we can't rely on what's just in our heart to guide us through life. You know, what feels good or what just feels right. We have to listen to what God says. And there's some more on this in Proverbs. I'd like to turn there to Proverbs 16. Now, I like to think of Proverbs as a a book written to help us, kind of like one of the self-help books that many of us read. And we get these books, they're from rich people, successful people, leaders. And we read books to try to get some understanding, right? To try to apply these things to our lives. Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. But this book was written by probably the most successful, richest, wisest person to ever live. And what he says here in Proverbs 16:25 is very important for us to read. So I'm going to read that. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now this was written by, like I said, one of the most successful people to ever live, and he repeats this phrase at least 7 times that I could find in a short search in Proverbs. So it's words that we should take to heart. We must look to God's word to guide us, to help us know how to live within our means. Now, live a way that will prevent us from falling off of a spiritual cliff in our lives. And we want to stay away from that cliff, and we all have choices to make to prevent us from getting too close and falling off. The next point I have is build a habit of savings. Build a habit of savings. Once again, it sounds very simple, but we have to save. Speaking of money, we have to save whatever we can. Maybe $100, $1,000, whatever we can do so that when something comes up, an emergency, we're prepared for it and we can stand. We're not going to fall when that happens. You know, hard times. So get into that habit of savings. It's a biblical principle. It's important. And it's a discipline that we can all learn to help us from falling off of a fiscal cliff in our lives. Well, God, he built in a spiritual savings for us as well. And that day is what we're doing today. It's the Sabbath. You can read about when that was created back in Genesis 2:1. You don't need to turn there. But we have this day, the Sabbath, where it's like a spiritual savings account, you might say. Time set aside where we learn, build that spiritual armor that we sang about earlier. And then when some trial comes up, an emergency, we're able to fall and hopefully not fall off of a spiritual cliff. Now, another way that we have a spiritual savings, you might say, is with prayer. Prayer is something that we're all able to do to build that relationship with God, you know, whenever we're able to. We can kind of build that up. That savings, you might say. I'd like to turn to Luke 21 and verse 34. In Luke 21, verse 34, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come unexpectedly," just like that cliff, you might say. You don't see it coming till you're right to that edge. "For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Say, bad times are coming, and they will come. Things happen. There's also distractions in our lives that speaks about here. So we must make the most of the opportunities we have now and build that strong spiritual savings in us. Then we will be prepared to avoid those spiritual cliffs when they come out of seemingly nowhere in our lives. The third point I have is to honor God. Honor God. Once again, it sounds simple. Now, speaking financially, we're supposed to honor God with our possessions, with tithing, and I'll read about that. It's in Proverbs 3:9. I'll just read it here. It says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." So that's talking about tithing. It's mentioned Old and New Testament. And we need to honor God with tithing, with our money, with our things. But we also need to honor God with our lives, with our very lives. Now, getting back to the story of Adam and Eve, and kind of looking at that, I want to look at their children and what they did. Kind of speaks to this about honoring God. I'm going to read from Genesis 4, verse 3. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it here. It says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit to the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering." So there was a right and a wrong way to honor God. And Cain was going the wrong way at that time. And God said, with this, there would be blessings. You know, trying to avoid some of those problems. And we'll read about that in a little bit. I'd like to turn to Matthew 6, verse 33. In Matthew 6, verse 33, it's a very commonly read scripture. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." It's talking about living God's way, honoring him, and these other things will be added to you, the other things that we worry about. Now, just as maybe a side note, if you're wondering, well, how do I honor God, us in this room, right? Not, maybe you're not sure what to do, or you just want to review, or maybe you're new at reading the Bible, and you want to know a place to start, I might suggest reading Matthew 5 through Matthew 7. It's only about 4 or 5 pages, and it would give you a quick review of how to live your life to honor God. Maybe that'll be your homework for the day. I'm going to read from the New Living Translations, Ephesians 5:15 speaks to this, and I've got it in my notes here. I'll just read it to you. It says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." And really, this is the unknown key to most people in the world. Right? They don't understand why life goes the way it does or where it's going or why problems happen for some and not others. This is the spiritual key to a fulfilled life, and it's honoring God. It's letting God be your partner in life. My last point today is if you fall, you need to get back up. If you fall, what do you do then? Now, every one of us is going to fall off a cliff in our lives. Right? We're going to have a problem. We're going to fall maybe off a big cliff, and it's going to hurt. It might hurt really bad. What do you do when that happens? Well, hopefully it's not too far of a fall, right? But sometimes you do. You find yourself down. You're in difficult times. We're faced with trials. And how do we handle those things when they occur? What do we do when we're down? Well, I'd like to go back to that story of Cain and Abel, what I was reading earlier, and continue on. You know, Cain was at a point right there where he was down. You might say that he fell off a cliff because God was upset with him. Well, let's see what God said about that, just continuing on in Genesis 4, verse 5, and I'll read it here. It says, "And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.'" So God was telling Cain at that point, you know, you're down, but this is an opportunity for you. You can get back up and keep going. It can work out. You know, in our cliff in life, it could be anything. It might be a money fiscal cliff that we've fallen off of. Maybe a job loss. But maybe it's a relationship issue. Death. Maybe it's church problems that are out there. Maybe if you're in school, it's your grades. You know, are your grades not doing well? You know, some of these things are brought on by ourselves. You know, we kind of jump off that cliff in our own lives. But we have to get back up. I think recently about the news, Lance Armstrong, I'm sure most of you have heard, but he has definitely fallen from where he was. And we'll have to see where he ends up after this. But even for Lance Armstrong, it's up to him to get back up and continue on. So maybe you've already fallen off the cliff. You know, life was going along smoothly, and all of a sudden you feel like you've just fallen down into the rocks. So when we fall, we need to get back up. Now the story of Paul and what he went through speaks to this very well. I'm going to read a little bit of the story to you. This is also from the New Living Translation. It's found in 2 Corinthians 11:23, and I'll read it to you here. It says, "I have worked hard, been put in prison more often, been whipped without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced dangers from men who claim to be believers, but are not. We might say church people. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And besides all this, I have the daily burden for all the churches." So Paul went through a lot. There was a lot of times he was down. And he had to keep going over and over. He was going through these hard times. And he speaks about this. I'll read 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. It's talking about this same story. He says, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it." So he was down. He says, "In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead." Said, "And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." So Paul's saying we have to rely on God and keep going. God will see us through, but we have to get up and keep going. So when we fall, when we have those tough times in life, we've got to get up and start living, start moving. And we've got to get back to the business we should be getting to. It's like God saying, "Get back on your feet, keep going. I'll see you through this. Start climbing back up." I'll read another proverb to you from Proverbs 24, verse 16. It says, "Though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes." So the righteous, they'll fall over and over, but they keep getting back up. Well, God's saying, start moving, get up. I'll also read James 4, 7 to you, speaks to this. It says, "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." It's saying God will lift you up. When you fall, when you're down there, humble yourself to the Lord, and God will lift you up. You know, life can go on. We can eventually get ourselves back up that cliff, back up on top, back to stable ground, and start moving forward. We all have to learn from our mistakes, but we need to continue to move forward. I'd like to turn to one final scripture. We'll turn to Philippians 1:3. In Philippians 1:3, and this is from the New Living Translation, it says, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And this is the part I want you to really to concentrate on. It says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." Think about those words. That God began a work in you, and he intends to carry it on to completion. And he has started a work in all of us. And we need to be there. We need to keep going, choose life, and God will see us through. Don't stay down. Get up, choose to live, and choose to live God's way. So wherever you are in life, get back to those first three points I talked about. How to avoid cliffs in your lives. You don't want to fall off if you don't have to, right? Living within our means. You know, that acting like a righteous person. Living the God way, the way God intended us to. And save time. Save time for worshiping God. Building that spiritual armor that we have, that we put on, so we can resist those trials, those cliffs when they come up in our lives. And if we honor God, not only with our money, but with our very lives, we will be able to avoid the spiritual cliffs in our lives and climb back up when we do fall. And I thank our God in confidence that he has started a work in all of us here, and he will see it through to the end.